Good morning. It's good to be with you. I'm Father Nectarios Morrow. I've had the opportunity to be here at Holy Trinity in the distant past. I was here for the consecration of the church with His Eminence Archbishop Demetrios, and have been back a few times for Holy Week a few years ago. But I'm glad to be with you this morning for Father Mark, who is in New York for the visit of the Patriarch, and has the opportunity to do some of the things there in terms of his role on the Benefits Committee for the Archdiocese and so forth. So it's very good to be with you this morning and to be here in this blessed place. It's beautiful to see all the iconography completed and just so much that's been done to glorify God with this beautiful place of worship. This morning I want to speak to you briefly from the epistle passage from Corinthians, from the Apostle Paul, because at the very end of this reading this morning, he offers us a kind of a glimpse of what true power is. He offers us insight into the truth and reality of power, enduring and eternal power that comes from God, that will always be, even when the power that we see around us or how we think of power in this world is gone and fades away. When we think about power, when we think about it in the context of our fallen world, as we know and we see it, we can attribute things like control, influence, maybe even destruction. But we see power that involves great strength. In fact, probably yesterday, many of you were watching college football, right? Weekends, football, sports, World Series, and so on. I missed my Baylor-Texas game because I was on the road from Wichita Falls. We have this feud in our house. I'm Baylor, my wife's UT, so, you know, I'll have to feel sorry for her for another year. But anyway, but when we think about sports, when we look at all of this and you watch, like if you watch the shows, like I don't watch a lot of this because I have a 9-year-old, so I see a lot more children's TV than I do other things. But you see that they talk about power, right? Power rankings or ratings. Or how do things line up? Where are the strengths of this particular team over against another team? We see that and we're thinking about we're strength. We're thinking about ability. We're thinking about greatness. We're thinking about those people who are the star players that are going to come through at the moment that they need. And then, as I said, we think about power when we look at it in the world around us, right? It is about control, about influence. It's about being on top, about being first, and being in control. That's not the image of power that the Apostle Paul offers to us in this passage this morning. Let me read this again to you, verses 7 through 10 in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, there are several aspects of this that we need to reflect on this morning. First of all, and related to the power of God, is that we see very clearly here that we cannot put limitations on God's grace. Paul here was talking about a revelation that he had been given by God, an insight into the spiritual reality that's around us, into the kingdom of God, something that was great and marvelous that undoubtedly continued to transform his life in holiness and in his communion with God. But he talks about, and to keep me from being too elated. He had this thorn in the flesh. He had something that he struggled with over and over and over again. And he asked the Lord that it be taken from him. He asked continually over and over again that this be taken from him. because of the struggle, because of how it impacted his relationship with God. Now, we don't fault Paul for doing that. We do the same thing. We have things in our lives that separate us from God. We ask God for help. We ask God for help to overcome temptation, the things that lead us away from Him. But oftentimes we turn this into conditions. God, if you'll help me with this, if you'll take this out of my life, then I'll be able to do more for you. Think about Paul. Why would he be asking God? This was what separated him from God in some way. Not completely, but in some way, it was a burden, a challenge in his life. How often do we do that in thinking about how we put conditions on God's grace? God, if you will do this. God, if you will do that. God, if you will take care of this for me, I can serve you better. I can do more. I can offer more. We think of power in the context of our fallen world. And when we talk about power in this context, and we think about this, what is that power in our world? It's always seeking more. It's always wanting. There's always something more powerful. There's always some aspect of it that needs to be controlled, something that needs to be overcome. We think about our burdens in terms of, in that same way. We think about, well, if this was just removed, if I didn't have this challenge, if I didn't have this burden, then I would have a better relationship with God. Then I would be a better Christian. But that is not the power of God. That is not why the power of God is extended to us, to rid us of all of these things, these challenges and these burdens that we have in life. That's life in our fallen world. We must reflect on how we attempt to place conditions on God. Are we turning that, as Paul does in this passage, and saying, I will have joy in my weakness? Why? Because it shows the power of God. Instead of putting conditions on God to say, God, take this out of my life. I can do more. I can be better. He recognizes that in his weakness, he is strong because of the grace and the power of God. The second thing that we see in this passage is this wonderful truth and affirmation in the words of Christ to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. His abundant grace, grace that's inexhaustible, grace that is sufficient to save what God has created, grace that is sufficient through the power of the resurrection, grace that is sufficient to defeat even death. God says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. A few weeks ago, we had a reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And I love this phrase in the Greek because Paul uses the technique of alliteration, right? You don't catch that in the English if you have to go back. But he uses this phrase in chapter 9, verse 8. Pandi pandote pasan. These three words together. Pandi pandote pasan. Which basically or literally means enough always of everything. Enough always of everything. And Paul is emphasizing there through this phrase, which would stick in your head. If you say it enough times, you won't forget it. Pandi pandote pasan. Just those three words, enough of everything always. If you think about that and what he says in that context, God will provide you enough of everything you need always for his good works, for his service, for his kingdom. God's grace is more than sufficient. It is there for us for everything we need in every way, always. This is the true power of God. And it's a power of love, a power of grace. When we look at the power in the world around us, how much love and grace do we see? Right? How much love and grace is visible in political power or even, you know, power in sports and athletics and so on? It's not about love and grace. It's not about building community, relationships. It's not about concern about people's spiritual well-being and our lives and our relationship with God. the power of God is first and foremost about the grace that he offers to us for everything we need, always. And then the final thing we see in this passage this morning, true power is revealed as perfect. True power is revealed as perfect through weakness. In the last part of verse 9, he says to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now, the first question that comes to mind is, well, is God's power not perfect before that? And that's why I add the word in there, revealed. Okay, well, the meaning here when we look at the text is that the power of God is revealed as perfect power. Power as it should be. Power that is rooted in the wisdom of God, in the essence of God. Power, true power, that will exist, as I said at the beginning, for eternity. This is true power that is perfect. It is revealed through our weakness. Now, the reason why I say that, and I changed the text here just a little bit, is because if you look at it in the Greek text, the words are egar dynamis en asthenia telite. Now, what's missing there is the possessive. In the English, it says, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." Okay, the possessive, my, is not there. In the Greek text, it's basically the truth that says, power is made perfect through weakness. Of course, it is assumed it's the power of God. That's what the context tells us. But if you take that out, it makes, and we're thinking about true power as it's revealed to us by God, it is a timeless truth. It is an eternal truth. The power is power, true power that comes from God is made perfect through our weakness. It is revealed to be perfect. It is revealed to be what power as God intended it to be. This is very much a contrast with the world around us. The power in the world is not perfect. It may seek that. It may seek ultimate control. But we live in a world where power is such a contrast. In fact, it's anti-power, right? It's the opposite of what we see here and what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Think with me for a moment about Christ when he was tempted after his 40 days in the desert and Satan tempted him to reveal his power. And he did not. He did not arbitrarily or just reveal his power for his own benefit or just for it to be shown. Think about when he was before Pilate. And one of the Gospels says that, you know, he could call angels to his service at any moment. But he did not do that. Why? Because that's not true power. That is earthly power. That is power that is not rooted in the grace of God. This morning we have to ask ourselves when we see that we read this passage and reflect, what is our weakness? Identify what in our lives that we struggle with, our burdens, the challenges that we carry with us each and every moment, each day, the things that we have faced in the recent past, things that will come in the future, knowing that that is the nature of our life. It is in those moments of weakness, it is in those moments of struggle, that God's presence is there with sufficient grace so that his power may be revealed in your life. Paul turned here to say, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness." It doesn't sound anything like what we hear in the world, right? In the world around us. I am content with weakness. There's a lot of other things that make us content, right? There's a lot of other things around us that we want accessible, or we want to have, or we need, or we go get. And when we look at power in the world, and what are the marks of success with power? It is not being content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. Because Paul says, in the power of God's grace, when I am weak, then I am strong. The kingdom of God turns everything upside down for us. It takes our world and it says the way you see things and the way we understand things and the way the world operates is not according to the kingdom of God. This is one of those clear passages in Scripture that helps us to see that. Because power is so sought after. Power is so much a part of our lives in so many different ways. It's with us in our homes, in our work, in our communities, and even in our churches when we talk about power. God says here, His grace is sufficient to make us strong even in our weaknesses, to reveal His power. That is the power that we want to see. That is the power we want to experience. That is the power that is enduring. It is of God. And for us, we should be content to know that His grace is sufficient. And again, will be with us always in everything that we need. Amen.